Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas to improving government effectiveness. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. For over a decade, the IBM Center for the Business of Government has sought to connect research to practice, sponsoring third-party research on a broad range of public management issues facing us today. Whether by law, mandate, mission, or values, public managers at all levels of government are expected to engage citizens in a wide variety of issues. Such expectations will continue to grow, given the calls for more participation in government. Perhaps the most notable call was President Obama's 2009 Open Government Memorandum and Open Government Initiative, which were aimed at increasing public participation in federal decision-making. The Obama administration's Open Government Initiative is now 3 years old, but is it making a difference? The IBM Center for the Business of Government has issued reports that highlight best practices and plans in the major federal agencies, but do not explore the effectiveness of these initiatives until now. How can public managers evaluate whether their citizen participation projects and programs are effective? What can public managers do to assess whether their efforts are making a difference? And how does program evaluation factor into all of these efforts? Today, we will pull back the veil on how best to evaluate citizen participation with Dr. Tina Nabachi, assistant professor at the Maxwell School at Syracuse University and author of the recent IBM Center report, A Manager's Guide to Evaluating Citizen Participation. Tina, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Tina, the goal of your report is not only to increase public managers' understanding and ability to evaluate citizen participation, but it also focuses on producing results. Given your research, I'm particularly interested in understanding what is citizen participation?
Well, sure. Citizen participation is an umbrella term for a huge variety of processes that seek to engage the public, average citizens, on some kind of public issue. So broadly, we can think of citizen participation as being a myriad of processes by which we try to understand public concerns, needs, and values, and incorporate those into decision-making.
So, Tina, as you point out, citizen participation can take many forms, but for our purposes, it is an instrument for understanding public concerns, needs, and values, and incorporating those into decision-making. I'd like to better understand the certain key factors that make up citizen participation. Could you outline key factors in this area?
Absolutely. Well, citizen participation, first of all, it can happen in many different places. We see civil society organizations using citizen participation processes. We see citizen participation in electoral, legislative, and administrative arenas. It can also vary depending on a number of features. So, for example, size. Some processes are very small and range have just a few participants. Others have hundreds or thousands of processes. And with the development of online technologies, we now have the potential to involve millions of citizens in discussions about issues. Processes also vary based on their purposes and their goals, what they're designed to do, why they're being used. So, for example, it could be used to generate understanding about an issue, resolve disagreements about an issue, create collaboration around something, to help make decisions. Participation also varies depending on who is there, whether it's expert administrators or professional or lay stakeholders, other processes involved, diffuse members of the public. How participants are brought to the table varies, how they're recruited and selected for these processes, the type of communication modes we use in participation also differ. Some processes happen face-to-face, others happen online or remotely, and some processes use a combination of those participation mechanisms. We also have some processes that have official names and are even trademarked, but others don't use named methodologies. And then finally, participation can vary depending on where it's occurring, whether those intended actions or outcomes are supposed to be at the organizational or network level, at the neighborhood or community level, at some kind of governmental level, and how processes are designed to connect to the policy process, connect to decision makers. Some have explicit connections and seek to inform public policy, while others have no connection to policy and decision makers, and instead they seek to create individual change or group action.
So, Tina, your recent report for the IBM Center for the Business of Government, A Manager's Guide to Evaluating Citizen Participation, focuses on the evaluation of direct citizen participation in public administration. I'd like for you to define for me direct citizen participation and outline some of the processes your report focuses on.
Sure. So another way we can think about the differences between participation is whether it's indirect or direct. So when we think about indirect participation, this is when citizens work through some kind of representative who makes a decision for them. So you can think about voting, right? We vote for an elected official who becomes our representative and makes decisions on our behalf. Or when we work through an advocacy group and give money, for example, to the World Wildlife Foundation, they go off and do the protection of the environment work. I don't personally have involvement in that besides supporting that organization. Direct participation is different, though. Direct participation occurs when citizens are personally engaged, when they're actively involved in the process of decision making, when they're doing it themselves. So direct participation is when members of a society, those who don't hold administrative positions in government, are sharing power with public officials, agency managers, elected officials, in making substantive decisions about a particular issue or set of issues. And in this report, I'm focusing on direct citizen participation in public administration. So those processes that are organized or used by government agencies that involve some kind of interaction between the agency and everyday citizens.
Tina, I think your report does a wonderful job of setting the context around the increasing prevalence of citizen participation today. I also found your report was interesting in that it referenced core values to doing this. Would you highlight some of those values? But more importantly, why is direct citizen participation in public administration so important?
Well, direct citizen participation is important because it is a foundation of democracy. You know, we have traditionally focused on indirect participation through voting. And when you look at kind of the history of democracy and the development of democracy in the United States, the focus of participation was on guaranteeing the rights of all citizens to vote for representation in government. And once those rights were firmly established, then the discussion about citizen participation began to change, and we tried to figure out how we can involve citizens directly in the day-to-day activities of government. And so the core values of the International Association for Public Participation, or IAP2, they focus on how we can engage the citizenry in day-to-day activities. So there are several core values. The first is that public participation is based on the belief that those who are affected by a decision have a right to be involved in the decision-making process. And again, this is a core and foundational value of democracy. If we accept that value, then IAP2 also says that those who are affected by a decision or interested in a decision should be sought out, and their involvement in that decision-making process should be facilitated. So if we're making important decisions but that have effects on certain groups or certain populations, and we're leaving them out of that decision-making process, then we're undermining one of the tenets of democracy. We also need to think about including the promise that the public's contribution will somehow influence the decision. So we want public participation and the input of the public to have some meaningful effect on what comes out of participation. And that doesn't always mean that what the public says should go, that this should be the 100% definitive solution to the particular problem. Instead, that means that the voice of the public has to be meaningful, and it has to be incorporated or at least thought about in the final decision. And if we don't do what the public says, then we need to explain why. Another value is that how the public input affected the decision needs to be communicated to the public. If we tell them that we are just gathering their feedback to help us inform our governmental decision-making, the public will be willing to accept that. We just need to explain to them how and why we're using their ideas. Finally, we need to focus on the needs and interests of participants instead of focusing just on positions. So in conflict resolution theory, we say positions are what a person or group wants. Interests are why a person or group wants something. And when we focus on interests, we begin to expand from an either-or situation to a yes-and situation. So we're creating more options for creative resolutions to particular problems. And then finally, the last value is that public participation should provide participants with the information they need to engage in a meaningful way. So one of the big criticisms of public participation is, frankly, that the public is ill-informed, that they don't understand the policy process, that they don't understand technical issues of decisions. And my research shows, and other research shows, that the public can give meaningful input on very technical decisions as long as they're given the tools and the information to understand what is going on.
Tina, citizen participation can have many goals. I'd like you to highlight some of the key goals around this area. How critical is it when determining goals that public managers be mindful not only of their needs, but the needs of all of the stakeholders that are involved?
And I would say before I talk about those goals that the number of factors that I talked about earlier that citizen participation varies by, we need to think about designing participation to achieve those goals. So we can use citizen participation to inform the public, just simply to let citizens know about issues, changes, resources, policies, problems that the government is trying to address. We can use citizen participation to help citizens learn about a topic, learn about a problem, learn about specific issues, whether those are at a community or neighborhood level, even to the federal or international level. We can use citizen participation to transform conflicts, to help improve relations among groups, to help resolve disagreements about public policy or public actions. We can use participation to generate feedback so that we understand how citizens perceive an issue, how they perceive a problem or policy. We can use it to help get new ideas, creative suggestions, and alternatives for addressing an issue or policy. And similarly, to gather information from citizens about their perceptions, their concerns, their needs, their values, their interests, and so forth. Public participation can be used to help us identify problems about current issues, potential future issues, things that might be emerging on the horizon. We can use participation to improve a community's ability to address issues, to build the capacity of a community and community leaders to solve problems on their own. We can use participation to bring groups and people together to collaborate on addressing an issue. We can use participation to make decisions to help us arrive at judgments about problems, alternatives, and solutions. Even though there is this huge breadth of goals, we have to make sure when we're designing participation that we are designing it to achieve those goals. And so we have to be mindful as public managers not only of our own needs, but also the needs of our allies, of our stakeholders, of citizens. And you have to be aware of those when you're designing, to know what you want to achieve, to know what others want you to achieve. And being aware of that helps you generate buy-in. It helps you gain the consideration and the buy-in of other people.
So stepping back a bit, I wanted to know what prompted your research in this area. Would you tell us more about how you conducted the research for the report and who participated and why?
Absolutely. So prior to doing work in citizen participation, I focused on issues of conflict resolution in government, and so how agencies use various dispute resolution techniques to resolve problems. And that kind of naturally evolved into research on collaborative governance, and then from there into citizen participation, which was the focus of my dissertation research, and I would say the primary focus of my research right now. I think there are very clear and important connections between alternative dispute resolution, collaborative governance, and citizen participation. So collaborative governance focuses on inter-organizational issues. Alternative dispute resolution focuses on intra-organizational issues. And citizen participation is really extra-organizational. But all of these are tools, techniques, processes that are hopefully used for improving the work of government and governance. So there are really logical connections in my research in these three streams. to do the research for this report, I built on my knowledge of alternative dispute resolution and collaborative governance and recognized that really evaluation of alternative dispute resolution or ADR has many of the same problems and difficulties as evaluation of public participation. Both of these occur in many different arenas. They encompass a wide variety of tools, techniques, and processes. They have different meanings of success for different parties, and they can be evaluated using a very wide array of tools, methodologies, measurement tools. So for this report, I reflected on my own work on evaluating alternative dispute resolution in the federal government. I also reviewed and adapted protocols, procedures, and recommendations from the Federal Interagency ADR Working Group. I talked with scholars and practitioners about their own work in public participation, how they were evaluating it, where they felt the gaps were. And then I used my own insights from my research, from my teaching, and from my training in this area to come up with some tools, some frameworks that would be useful for public managers who are doing participation in a huge array of areas.
What is program evaluation, and how can it assess the impact of citizen participation programs? We will explore this question and so much more when the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.